Well, the final, it's funny, I want to say the final because I got an email from our guest when we were talking about his schedule after the last time he was on, and he was saying, my final over at Knox is coming up this week. So the final concert coming up for Maestro Bruce Poley this Saturday, the concert on the lawn, and then you lay the baton down. Bruce, good morning. Welcome once again.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Great to be on radio here. I mean, the things that you can do on radio, you talk about our jerseys and where our hearts are, and you don't have to look at us if you don't like the colors.
Well, that's true. That is true. And there's certain pinstripes I don't like. I don't mind Yankee pinstripes. I don't mind Rocky pinstripes. There's those certain pinstripes on the north side of Chicago I just can't handle.
When A-Rod and Jeter left the Yankees, my oldest son, who now lives in Santa Fe, he's no longer a Yankees fan.
So, oh, really?
I remember back in when Mays retired from, well, was actually, I can't remember if he was traded or if he left. What, I think he was probably traded to the New York Mets. I said, well, gee, I just don't know if I'm going to be a Giants fan anymore. You know, you so identify with certain players,
right?
Whether they were good or bad or whatever they were, you see the uniform, you remember that face, and that's who you are.
And it's so much harder now because the free agents jump around a lot more now.
Yeah.
There's not as much loyalty, and there's not maybe as much loyalty from ownership as so much either.
I mean, some players do say, well, you know, I'd really rather stay with this team. Of course,
right.
They're also saying, you're going to pay me, you know, I want to own that city over just across the way, and can you pay me that by playing 2 years, you know?
You know, I'm trying to think how many times I've talked to you on the air. A few. I mean, like, you know, you had somebody that talked to you. I was trying to guesstimate the other day how many times you had actually been on the air here with Terry Kavanaugh.
I'm guessing
probably a couple hundred times, maybe.
It's 35 years. So
you
multiplied
more than that. So even more.
If you multiplied six the concert on the lawn, I started in my third year. So.
Bruce, I was thinking maybe you should be here on the air with her one more time since this might be. Terry,
wonderful.
Man, slide over here.
Okay. Terry
Kavanaugh joining us. And,
all right.
And, you know what? And she can also tell you about retired life, too.
Yeah.
I think at least a couple hundred times you guys have probably talked on the air here at WGIL.
You know, I was doing that last night. I was adding up, and I thought, okay, so if I started at 93 in the mornings, because I don't think I had Bruce on before I was on the mornings, and he did five concerts a year, not counting concerts on the lawn, and I was on that for 20 years, so it's 100-plus. We had to do 100-plus.
Oh, easily.
Easily, 100-plus interviews.
Yeah.
I thought, I wonder how many interviews we did, so I just started kind of adding concerts, because I couldn't figure out any other way to figure that out, so I thought, oh, my gosh, over 100. So.
Well, that's why I segued into Concert on the Lawn, because I started that, I mean, it's the 30, I think it's the 33rd year, and this will be my 35th year, and but I wanted to segue that into a story with Terry before she was coming. One time, we decided, we got a convertible, I think, from Yem.
Bob Lindsay.
One of the two. WGIL metallics on either side, and we did the interview in a convertible around Galesburg.
You don't remember you talking about that, Jerry. Yeah, we had that discussion.
Yes.
Fun
we did, you know, we did a couple of things like that, but that was the first one where we actually took, and I don't know if we had a Marty or a phone. We might have just had a bag phone because we were all over the place in town just talking about it, waving at everybody. And then I think the next year, oddly, we grabbed a couple of lawn chairs and sat out front and did the broadcast with Bob Jirocco in front of the building because we just wanted to have that bring your lawn chairs, sit outside,
it was so much
fun. go to the concert and that. So, yeah.
Well, the last concert coming up for you this Saturday afternoon at 5 to 7 this evening, I guess, or Saturday evening, 5 to 7. And it's been, I mean, gosh, like I said, 35 years worth. My goodness.
Yeah, that's
Bruce isn't going to toot his own horn, but I will. I'll toot his horn in that convertible that we were in. Let me get my note. I made notes while I was on vacation.
Well, that's a lot of years to add up.
Yeah,
to
I made 35
everything.
Years. You know, I think it was Bruce that brought music mornings to the students of Galesburg on Saturday mornings ahead of those concerts. Then they got free into the concerts. So, you know, you're educating a whole new generation about the classics. And then I'm not sure if it's called Music in the Schools, Bruce, but
in-school tours.
In-school tours that he did, and then those programs where you had the Carnival of the Animals and you brought the kids to Knox.
Music Memories.
Music Memories. I remember doing a lot of interviews with people from the symphony for Bruce's, I think it was his 20th anniversary. And Pearl Strickland says, go interview. And we just interviewed it was just wonderful to hear the stories that the symphony members had about Bruce. All good. All good. And then, we talked about the convertible and the lawn chairs out front, and I want him to get to the concert. But Bruce has been awarded the Illinois Conductor of the Year by the Illinois Council of Orchestras 3 times. He is the only conductor in the state of Illinois to have that honor.
That is quite an accomplishment, Bruce.
Well, you can't do that stuff without help, and I mean, we had a lot of help, and we had a community that supports the symphony, and I hope we'll continue to support the Knox-Galesburg Symphony as an important cultural treasure within our community, amongst a number of cultural treasures at the Orpheum Theater and so many fine groups that we have. Groups and organizations, the Civic Arts Center and Prairie Players and Nova Singers and Community Chorus and Choral Dynamics. And I mean, we are really, really, really blessed here.
It's really rich.
Is Galesburg kind of an enigma for the size of the community? Because there's obviously bigger communities that support symphony. Galesburg seems pretty small to have the support it does.
Well, I think that's a really good point, Tom. I always told my friends in California or other places, I said, well, you know, this is this little town of 30,000 people surrounded by corn. And yet, on the other hand, we have a dynamic within the community which supports fine art in a significant way. When I started the concert on the lawn, I went to the board and I wanted to start this program, an outside program that would not be funded by the symphony. And of course, the idea was that the fundraising outside of the symphony's fundraising would support, so the community would, in other words, take ownership of the performance. And so we got help from banking organizations and Admiral at the time when we started it. And then from that point on, we now have a pass the hat. For 10 years, we had the Music Performance Trust Fund in New York that I kind of worked with until they ran out of money for us. But all of these things take a tremendous amount of effort within the community. And as we're passing the baton, if you like, from my successor, and to the board, which is now in the position of hiring its own conductor, I think we have to be very supportive of what tradition has, because it's so easy to lose. I think the Greeks say it's easy to tear down a house. It's hard to build one. And so, like with the radio, and I say I'm just sitting next to the small market
Marconi recipient. Yeah,
Marconi. We have people like Terry and yourself and so many others in the community who have been very unselfish with their time. Terry has been on the symphony board many, many times, and is on. You've been on the Nova Singers board. You've been on other kinds of boards. Yeah. This is very unspoken, selfless community service, and that kind of service is what makes Galesburg a great place. I'm not saying that other communities don't have it, but I think you really hit it, Tom. We are really the center of a rural area, of a rural population.
Well, and I think Terry also integral in a lot of that, because I don't know how much a lot of the things were talked about on the air prior to you being on in the mornings and uh-huh. having Bruce on and whoever, whether it was Diane Lane or whoever.
Laura Lane, a variety of, so
I mean, I think that, I guess, helping to spread the word is a big thing, too.
Well, Terry was always really diligent, because she had notes about, well, now, Bruce, what else is going on this afternoon? And I said, well, we have the Music Mornings program at 10 o'clock at the Galesburg mm-hmm. Public Library. Does this sound familiar? And because Terry had been adept enough to find the variety of different things is when I had the adrenaline of half a life ago and I started all these programs, it was the idea. Really, I was in public schools for 9 years, and I always felt a great debt to public schools. And I think you said it, Tom. We're really talking always about the future. So one time I was looking at a black and white picture of a Music Memories program that we did at Kresge. I mean, we did in Harbach mm-hmm. Theater. And I said, you know what? I said, we don't need another picture. you could just call that a sepio. And what you're looking at, you're looking at basically the same faces 35 years ago that are sitting in the seats now. So I think this is very, very important. And as the schools continue to be hindered by budgets, for a variety of reasons. Louise and I, by the way, just played for the GHS North. It was wonderful. Their graduation that graduates, by the way, between 12% and 15% of the graduation class of each year.
And your daughter was instrumental in that program for a while, if not, wasn't she in the?
Yeah.
As a teacher?
Yeah, our oldest daughter, who's now a lawyer, when she was a teacher, she taught at Galesburg. She taught math at Galesburg North.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. So we've actually been at all 9 graduations, but we've been the music for 8 of them.
Oh, nice.
But the point being is that the community itself has to take on a responsibility of not turning away from the important issues. And the arts within our community are not just a frill. They are, in fact, they will withstand the test of time, and they will be, they are identifiable with the nature and the quality of the community.
Bruce Polley, Maestro Bruce Polley, his final concert coming up Saturday, Concert on the Lawn. We'll talk a little bit more about that with him. Terry Cavanaugh joining us here this morning. Going to take a quick break for news headlines. It is 8:27. This is Galesburg's Morning News, GIL. Maestro Bruce Polley, the outgoing conductor of the Knox Galesburg Symphony, all done with his career at Knox College as he is heading into the world of retirement, joining us here this morning. Also, somebody who interviewed him, we figure... I don't. Might have been pushing a couple hundred times even over the years. Terry Cavanaugh.
I know.
Well, we also, one of the fun things we did was from the beginnings, we did Christmas broadcasts, and so I came in. I had this publication of Christmas tunes, and
right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we'd play these tunes, and we'd say, well, when do you think Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was
A little
first?
Bit of history about the background of Christmas carols and Christmas songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool.
It was so much fun. We just had a lot of fun. But I would say, like with WGIL, which is a gem in itself, what you have is a community of individuals that really care enough about other people that they'll support the community in a significant way. So just because I'm retiring or just because Terry's retiring, I mean, we're not invisible anymore, but we're identified with the community of a community of leaders and supporters of things that make the community a great place. And notwithstanding comparing anything else, we can only compare ourselves with ourselves, I think. And so if we look at Galesburg in that way, then we have to say, well, okay, we have to step up because there isn't going to be enough funding for X. So what can we do about it? And what makes us a vibrant community for the future, for those children that we're educating now? So I'm great and been blessed and feel quite privileged to have been a member of the faculty at Knox College. I love Knox. And I've loved the Knox Galesburg Symphony. And Louise and I both cherish the time we've been here, but we love Galesburg. We're moving because of the weather.
I get that. Yeah, so, we all get that.
The weather is a very large four-letter word.
From winter to summer. And
it's
48 hours, it seems like. A40 Galesburg's Morning News on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Meredith with Maestro Bruce Polley. His final concert with the Knox Galesburg Symphony coming up on Saturday. Concert on the Lawn, 5 to 7 on Saturday evening. And the Knox Galesburg Symphony. Also joining us this morning, Terry Cavanaugh. Terry and Bruce have been on the air together many, many times here over the years on WGIL. And Bruce, let's talk. I guess we might as well talk a little bit about the concert itself.
Oh, right? Why not?
All right. Well, tell us about Concert on the Lawn and what's on the agenda this year.
Well, the major tunes on the program, we're doing a work by Aaron Copland. That was actually written for a New York art high school, but it was originally written as a band piece. It's called an outdoor overture, and I mean, as soon as we play it, you'll know it. It's as ubiquitous as the Fanfare for the Common Man from the Third Symphony of Copland. So we open up with that, and then we're playing the highlight. I'll just get this off the table right away. We're playing the Star Wars medley.
Really?
Interestingly enough, I was teaching in high school when this was published in the 70s, and it was so good. I mean, I had a really strong high school orchestra at that time, and so they could play it. I mean, some of those guys are playing in they're playing in the L.A. Phil, the L.A. Chamber Orchestra, the Pacific Symphony, the Seattle Symphony, and so on. I mean, but at any rate, and one of them, the trumpet player, the lead trumpet player in that group, he's had a career playing in Disneyland.
Really?
He loves it there. When Ron Logan was the music director at the Mouse House there. But at any rate, we played that arrangement, and it was so good. They pulled it. It went out of print maybe the second, if not the third year. And so the set of parts we have is borrowed from Woodruff High School, who had been adept enough to figure out to purchase it. So we're doing that wonderful Star Wars medley. We're doing, one of my favorite musical scores of all time, The Phantom of the Opera. We're playing, Sousa's Stars and Stripes Forever for a Pass the Hat. We're playing another Sousa march called The Directorate, written before The Stars and Stripes Forever. We're playing my arrangement of the Knox hymn. We have a wonderful youth soloist. This time, it is Hannah Edwards, who's right here from our community. Hannah is playing the last movement of the Kabaleski Violin Concerto. And we're playing Finlandia to close the show. So we're playing this wonderful arrangement by Custer of Over the Rainbow that we played when we were on tour in Spain in 1997. It's a great, fun, wonderful concert. We're doing an arrangement of Begin the Beguine by a man named Darwin Lyons, who is married to one of our violinists. But Darwin had been a wonderful arranger. He was a saxophone player. And Claudia, his wife, said, would you mind looking at some of Darwin's arrangements? And they're wonderful. I mean, they're studio quality. And so we're playing his arrangement of Begin the Beguine for strings. And then we're playing Game of Thorns.
Okay.
Yeah, because there had been a lot of requests for video game music.
Okay.
And last year we bought it. And, of course, last year was the first time ever that the concert was actually rained out. So we said, well, we bought it, and we weren't able to play it for the community, so we're playing Game of Thorns. So just in case I know you probably call Lange old school, which really hurts my feelings. But ultimately, it's a wide variety program for a wide audience, crowd, and interest. And frankly, I picked my favorites, as I did with this season, to pick things that I knew we could play pretty well and that we would that what also are nostalgic to me.
Does it add maybe a little fun for the players, or maybe you as a conductor as well?
Oh, good point.
For some of those songs that you know are more recognizable to not everybody recognizes some classical tunes, but those that, you know, like with the Star Wars or whichever, is it a little more fun even playing knowing that the audience really knows that music as well?
Well, that goes both ways, Tom. Number one, the audience, of course, loves these tunes. And they love them all. Number two, is that you judge by the smiles on people's faces in the orchestra, because you see them playing Star Wars, and when Leia's theme comes in there, and when Darth's theme comes in there, everybody's just, they're all clicking. Yeah, so it's a lot of fun. That arrangement of Star Wars, by the way, is very difficult. But we've got good players, and everybody is dedicated to it. And so once I get through being an angry, nasty maestro, as I can be, then ultimately everybody takes it seriously. You know, they get up on the edge of their chairs, and it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. And by the way, I'd just like to say, in the past few years, we had done the 1812 Overture. But because of so much playing, and because we're doing this all in one rehearsal the day of the show, that I decided that Finlandia would be a better choice for us, because you're going to see people with red-faced embouchures in the brass section throughout the entire section, because it's such a blower. It's such a blower show. Mm. So, and anyway, that's why we're doing Finlandia, because 1812 is that much more taxing, and it's more technically complicated. So I was able to insert the Copland Outdoor Overture and Finlandia in place of 1812 Overture.
Awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like it'll be a great show, as always.
As always. Yeah. As always, Tom. It's a bring the family, bring your lawn chairs. There's chairs out there because there's graduation the next day.
Yeah.
You can bring your own picnic, or they have a picnic. I mean, there's always concessions available as well. I have to laugh because last year my sisters were here for Run Galesburg Run, and we all huddled under a tree with Bob Clark taking our picture in the pouring rain while the symphony was deciding, do we call it, do we not? And then it just, Mother Nature just intruded to the nth degree. So
that was an absolute shock because we there was nothing that even indicated that was going to happen. And then I turned around after we played the overture, which was, I can't remember, and we turned around and I turned around, I heard something drip, and I looked around and I saw the turrets, and then I saw the stage being inundated. And before, we've been able to huddle people under trees, and we would play either a portion or we continued to play. We've done that three times, I think.
Yeah.
But this time, it was absolute chaos.
Kind of like the players on the Titanic. You're going to go down the ship, right?
Not quite that. But
Maestro Bruce Pulley, Max Galesburg Symphony, his final concert on the lawn again this Saturday at 5 o'clock over at Knox College, and always just such a wonderful event. Yeah, and it's, as you mentioned, Terry, it's such a great weekend with the concert on the lawn. Of course, this year also you've got the Choral Dynamics show with the 70s and 80s rewind going on, and of course Run Gales Run, the Knox graduation. Really a chance to showcase things that happen here in Galesburg.
Absolutely, because the community will be full of guests this weekend.
Yes, absolutely.
As it is on a weekend like this, with people, some come in on Sunday for the run, but many people come in for the graduation and everything ahead of time, which is what the nice thing is about the concert on the lawn on Friday night.
Yeah, and when Teresa,
Saturday night, excuse me.
I'm sorry. When Teresa Amott actually decided that the graduation should be on Sunday, we moved the concert on the lawn. We moved the concert on to a Saturday, which I had done before, and so that worked to be so it's been a great opportunity for the college to recognize its sponsorship of the Knox-Galesburg Symphony, and for me to be a part of the graduation event schedule for the concert on lawn means a lot to me. So playing the Knox hymn always just adds that much more vibrancy to the program.
Well, that's just a beautiful piece too that Bruce has arranged for the Knox hymn. If you've never heard it. I mean, and many people, graduates and alumni, of course, but as somebody that didn't graduate from Knox, it's just a beautiful, beautiful hymn. I don't even know how to. It's just pretty.
I prettyized it.
You prettyized it,
Bruce. I know it'd be really hard over the years here at Knox. Is there a memory in particular, something to do with a student or something to do with a class or anything that from Knox College in particular that has always stuck out in your mind?
Oh, well, I'm sure
there's probably
how much time do you
them,
have?
Yeah.
There are. I'll give you a
10?
Spread of
no.
I'll give you a spread of two or three. In the very beginnings, there used to be a fence that around the outside track at Knox, and I always had a clipboard with me for some reason, and Owen Milder had organized the faculty softball team, and so I just happened to walk by and I've got this clipboard. He thought it was a coach. he said, "Hey, what's your name?" I told him. He said, "You want to play some baseball?" Oh yeah.
Say hey, Bruce Pollard. Right?
I took off my shoes and I jumped the fence. Yeah, and we were on, and one of those famous times we were playing in the championship against the Betas. It had just rained, and we were playing on that portion in left field over on the baseball field, and I'm out there. I hit a ball shortstop, and I'm running like crazy, and there's this big puddle, and I slip, and I just landed in this puddle. And so standing behind me over on the street, over on whatever street that is, was John McCall, the president of the college. So he said, "Well, here is this new music professor falling face first into a puddle of mud." That was number one. Number two, after I started the concert on the lawn, we, of course, aligned it with Railroad Days. And that was George Warren's idea, because I thought we'd have a 4th of July concert, but it worked out best to do it that way. Well, after the success of the concert, two things happened. Number one, we had Joe Noslick and Progressive Communications, who was doing our sound, had done a brilliant job. And we'd had John Block as the speaker at commencement, my first year, and the speaker system was awful. So the college did two things. Number one, they asked if we could they could contact Progressive Communications to see if they would come down to do the sound for commencement. And number two, Owen said, "Well, you know, the college would be interested in having an identification with the concert on the lawn." So that when Owen Mulder then came over and became the college representative on a board, if you like, that I started a committee that started the concert on the lawn. So that was another thing. Another was that in my I had a wonderful reception that Laura Lane put together for me on behalf of the department and the college for my retirement. And a number of students that I had in the past had written accolades. And one of them that really stuck out at me was a guy named Matt Pace. Matt Pace had come in as a sophomore. He was the top student in the psychology department already as a sophomore. He's a brilliant young man. And he was taking my 112, Introduction to Music class, and Introduction to Western Traditions. Well, he liked that class so much that he switched his major from psychology to music.
Really?
And ultimately did a – he has a PhD in – I don't know what his PhD is. It's in music, maybe musicology. Or composition, because he did an honors project with me in composition. And he wrote some very wow. nice things, and I also have to say this last year of teaching has really been wonderful. I taught my 112 class, which we now call Elements of Music, where I have it's basically an introduction to music class for underclassmen. And then I taught my contemporary tonal harmony class. I had a class of three really wonderful, smart students in there. And then my last class had eight in it. And it was probably, if not the very best, one of the very best classes I've had at Knox. And so I was thinking the Sandy Koufax thing. I mean, why not go out on the top, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about my abilities but as a teacher, but I am thinking that in my memory, is right away as you asked that question, the teaching at Knox has been a wonderful privilege for me that I've always enjoyed. And as I've been able to relinquish some responsibilities, I've been able to reprioritize. And so this last year of teaching, I had three terrifically wonderful classes, and my students and I became very close, and we were able to do what we were supposed to do. Was that I'm helping mentor them into understanding some things about music that they didn't know before. So it's a hats off, basically, to my Music 363, a music of the 19th century class, because they were wonderful.
Maestro Bruce Pole, he's now done at Knox. Knox Galesburg Symphony, the last final concert coming up, the final, as we say, this Saturday from 5 to 7, concert on the lawn. What's the future hold? I know you've got some kids out west and some more local. I'm sure you're going to do a little bit of traveling.
Yeah, well, this summer we're actually going to visit our son who went to Knox and played soccer at Knox. Scored a winning goal, by the way, against Monmouth College.
I just can't let anybody live that down. Right?
Not ever. Although one of my very best friends is David Suda, who is a mm-hmm. distinguished professor at Knox College at Monmouth College. So we're going to go out and visit Adam and Montana, who graduated from Knox, in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're actually going to be gone latter part of June for that. And then we're going to come back in July. We're going to go out and visit our daughter and her husband, who live in Portland, Oregon. And I was mentioning to Terry, the best part about these trips is now you don't if you want to take three rather than 2 days coming back, you could do it. And you don't have impending doom when you walk back in. Because, as you know, the phone rings, the emails start, and your life is not your own anymore.
Yeah.
So I am going to miss Knox. I am going to miss the Knox Galesburg Symphony, and certainly my friends, the wonderful players that we've been able to develop and attract here to the Knox Galesburg Symphony. But most importantly, the community itself has been a wonderful place for us, and it will always be deep in our hearts. I have to tell you, this is Terry walking in the door. I'll never forget that. It was wonderful. And Tom, you and
well,
members of the staff.
I was trying to keep you engaged looking this way because she was coming from that way. I wanted to make it, hopefully you weren't going to see her until she got in here.
That's what I was trying to do. I know how to sneak around the building.
Well, you ask my wife. I'm oblivious to almost anything. It's like I was born with blinders on. So it's just, you know, it's all one way, you know.
Well, Bruce, thank you so much. Yeah, congratulations on the retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the times you've helped us out here. And Terry, I know you feel the same way.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But speaking of helping you out, I would like to do early morning school menus someday.
Someday.
And a sports report that would make my heart go pitter-patter.
Yeah. Especially during baseball season, right?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Tom can probably get you in as a co-host there for a sports broadcast.
Well, he's been as a co-host before.
That's right. Yes, he has.
The only problem is when I call him, he says, Tom, friends don't ask friends to come in at 7 a.m. Or 6 a.m., either one.
See, now, for all the early morning shows that we did, as we move a little bit later, we say, nope.
What time?
Yeah. My wife said, you have another 8:10 at WGIL.
The last one, at least for the time being. At least for the time being. We might have to get you. Terry, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey, I love these auditions.
Bruce, thank you again. Appreciate it.